This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. Yeah, fucking smut puddlers again. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
I'm Luis Romero. I'm the Fuck Fentanyl guy. This is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. So today, man, I got a really cool fucking dude, man. I got my homeboy Vinny. How you doing, man?
Just living the dream, my friend.
Hell yeah, dude. So Vinny is, I met him through my brand over a year ago, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I met Vinny. He had, you know, just kind of started getting his life together again. And he was really, really enthusiastic about my brand. He fucking reps it all the fucking time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I always thought Vinny was pretty cool, man. And I, you know, we've kept in contact. I see him all the time. And he's looks like he's doing fucking really great in life and shit. And we actually, it's funny, he actually knows one of my homeboys growing up, Aaron.
Yep.
Fucking Aaron.
Bones.
Bones. Yeah, dude. If you knew that dude, you definitely been around.
Okay. I think every county term I've ever had, he was there.
Oh, yeah. And he owns it. Yeah. Yeah, man. So, where'd you grow up, man?
Grew up in Claremont, born and raised.
Oh, shit. Claremont. Yes, sir. The home of Lindsay. Yeah,
Lindsay Blue.
Yeah, yep. She loves that place. I always fucking joke with her. So yeah, man. You grew up there, and how was it over there? Like the environment.
You know, it's a nice neighborhood, dude.
Yeah.
You got opportunity everywhere. It's middle class.
Yeah.
It's a great place to grow up, and just like anywhere in San Diego, I would say, honestly, there's areas you can always find. And I was definitely one of those kids trying to find that.
Yeah, find the bad spots.
Find the bad shit, you know what I mean? My family's super middle class, and I just kind of went in a direction that they absolutely did not raise me to be, honestly.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. When did you start drugs and alcohol?
I'd say I started drinking around like 6, 7.
Oh, wow. You're really young.
Yeah, I was young. I would steal booze from my wherever I could find it in the house. And then I used to actually like steal my mom's weed before I even was doing it myself, just to kind of like gain friendships with some of the older kids in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So you'll take some of her weed and then you'll just kind of give it to them.
Give it out so I could hang out. And
got you.
You know, they started calling me Little Vinny at like a really young age.
Mm.
Like I was like 8 kicking it with kids in middle school, basically.
Oh, okay.
High school. And
just trying to fit in.
Just trying to fit in, trying to find a tribe, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
I think I was like 9, I started smoking weed. We went to the park and they're like, "All right, Little Vinny, today's your day."
And, you know, break you in.
You know? And I remember we smoked, I was at North Claremont Rec, and we smoked weed, and they're like, "Hey, you know you can't feel any pain when you're high?" And we're like running at each other full speed, just like banging into each other. Like that was, you know, that was it. But I felt like a part of.
Yeah. And you're smoking, and were there any other drugs and alcohol involved, or was it just those two for a minute?
It was that until about 11.
Okay.
11. I was hanging out. I mean, I was hanging out with older people.
Yeah.
And I was living in this, like, I was running away from home at this time.
Okay.
I was, really don't even know why I was running away. I think I was just doing what I wanted to do. And, hanging out with like these gutter punks that were like living in the canyons and shit. And I didn't want to go home. And there was like this little trap house across the street from the Claremont Square, because that's where I like grew up, like, in the Claremont Square. That's where I spent all my time, like as a youngster.
Fuck yeah.
And I remember one of my older homeboys that he was like one of the kids that I first started smoking weed with. He was in a room hitting the pipe, and I was like, oh, I already did this before, like trying to like get him to let me do it. And they're like, all right, little Vinny. And they so they gave it to me, and they packed a bowl, and I just started hitting it. And he was like, that's how I know you don't know what you're doing, because you didn't melt it down. And I was
like, called you out. So
it was off and running from that point.
Damn, dude.
I got arrested out of that trap house, and started going to juvenile hall at that point, because I was already on probation for like getting caught with weed at school.
Okay. That's like a slap in the wrist.
Yeah, like they had me on like formal probation or juvenile probation, and that's actually where I got introduced to the rooms at a really young age.
How old were you when you were in the rooms?
My first NA meeting, I was probably like 10 or 11.
God damn, dude.
Sixth grade, I remember. Ooh, it was after elementary school.
So. Damn, dude. You might be my youngest. That's crazy. 11 or 12 years old, nigga. Yeah. You go to NA meetings.
Oh, yeah. You got to get your slip signed.
Yeah. Holy shit. Do your parents accompany you?
No. No, it was right down the street from my house. It was at the South Claremont Park next to my middle school that I was going to. It's funny, I just went to a meeting directly across the street yesterday, the other day.
And, really?
I'm like, I finally made my full circle back. Like, my first meeting was here, and now I'm
now I'm here.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Fucking crazy. So, and you started going to juvenile hall when you were 11?
Yeah, I was 11 years old. I got arrested out of there, and I think they took me home or something.
Okay.
And my dad was like, no, take him with you. Take him with him. And the cop's like, we can't, like, just take him.
Yeah, right. And,
I had really been getting into graffiti, like, at that point. I started, like, writing bad words on the wall when I was a little kid, like, before I even knew what graffiti was.
Right.
And then when I actually found out about it, I had, like, a little name. And just would, like, you know what I mean? I just thought it was more bad kid shit, you know what I mean? I was just trying to do. Right. And my dad had a... He had actually made me go out and paint fences that I had tagged at that age.
Okay.
And he came out and he was like, here. And he gave him a piece of paper that had like my tags on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, if you go down in the alley, you'll see it right there. And the cop went down there, came back, and he's like, there's nothing I can do about this kid. Took me to juvenile hall.
Wow. So your dad threw you under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
My family is not from San Diego.
Oh, no?
They don't really understand the California recidivism rate, and just basically how they were trying to do something. They were trying to help me.
Yeah.
That's how I had a lot of resentment towards him. I got high at him for a long time.
Oh, for sure.
Now looking at it in a mind state where it's like...
He just wanted you to learn a lesson.
He didn't understand California politics, you know?
That's
where all the money comes from, is from our inmates, you know?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know?
For shit.
It was just a system that I got thrown into that he was just trying to do the best for me, but I got an obscured vision of what I was supposed to be, you know? Yeah. So, like, 9 months later, or I was there for 9 months.
Damn, that's a minute.
Yeah. Because
they're not normally that long. They're normally
I think I said some stupid shit. Like, they asked me if I ever because there's like two things. If you go to camp, they're like, do you have any arson charges, and are you allergic to bees? And I was like, well, I played with matches when I was a kid. And they're like, we gotta assess this kid.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
so they kept me in 100 for like 6 months till they figured it out and then sent me off to camp.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I would definitely say that's where, like, I learned to be angry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wasn't cut out for that at all. Like, my family raised me to be kind and tolerant. And just a loving person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, it showed. And I remember getting punked for, like, the first, like, couple months.
Yeah.
Like, just getting fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember my first... like thing at camp. Like everybody was like fucking with me, and this kid took my egg, and I was like, well, I don't want it anyways. And he's like, hey, dude, you gotta fight him now. I'm like, I don't want to fight him. I don't even want that egg.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, you gotta do it. Like, so I just, you know, I took off, and I realized at that point that it's like it's a fight or flight method, and you either eat or be eaten.
Yeah.
So I ran with that for a long time. You know, it was easier to be angrier than be kind and tolerant, especially in a place like that.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's like they don't want you to show weakness.
Of course not, dude. And it's a bunch of fucking kids that are just out of their minds. Oh,
fuck
dude.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I mean? It's a bunch of fucking kids trying
unhappy ass fucking kids. Yeah.
You know, a lot of these kids have trauma, have lives that, you know, their parents just left them type shit.
Yeah.
You know, I gratefully, I wasn't one of those kids, but I had to be one because I was in that position, and it became easier and easier for me. So I just, like, I was never a big kid, but I was always willing to fight, and that's really all they wanted. It's not even about the actual who wins, who loses. It's just like, you just gotta, you know, kind of show up.
Yeah, kind of scrappy.
Yeah, exactly. I was that guy. I was always like, I was always first one to jump. I was, you know, because it was like, because I was scared. That's what it comes down to. I was scared, and I was pretending to be somebody that I wasn't, and I had to keep that mask on, or else, you know, it was going to be, someone's going to see.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's my biggest fear.
Exactly. You know? Someone sees who I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after this term in juvenile hall, is that when you were starting dabbling more into the drugs and stuff like that?
That's when it went like kind of full blown.
Yeah.
Like my first time out, I thought I was fucking really badass.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
fucking tough, I bet guy you now. Did. And I really went straight from the gate. Like as soon as I got out, and it was just one term after the next.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time I was like 16, I was already on drug court. And
really? Drug court?
Yeah. I didn't even know it was an adult program.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Till like probably 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had no clue.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I was on juvenile drug court. We used to go to Metal Arc, the juvenile court over there.
Okay.
I had Fridays, capital off.
You know? Oh, shit, dude.
And it's just like the original, it's just like adult drug court. You fuck up, they throw you in.
Yeah.
And I had been already like picking up like stupid, like, what's it called? Like violations. Mm-hmm. I already been back. So by this time, I'd already been to camp probably like 3-4 times.
Okay.
And now I'm in drug court, and like every time you even look wrong, and I just would run from the gate. That's like, I'm a flight risk.
Right.
Like, straight up. Like I was, once again, I lived, I was fear based.
Yes. Know?
I mean, everything. Like I was afraid of conflict. I was afraid of owning up to my shit. I was afraid of fucking being who I figuring out or, all that, you know what I mean? And so it was just easier to run and get high.
Right.
And so after like 3 more camp.
Just 3 more.
Yeah, like 3 more campo commits. They sent me to a behavior modification for 13 months.
Oh, no shit. For juveniles?
Yeah, juveniles. Oh. It's called Phoenix House. It's where, this is where like Crash and like House of Metamorphosis and like all these behavior mods that are like, they got their program from them.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Fuck that place then. Wow, dude. So how old were you when you were in this Phoenix House?
I got there at probably, I think I was like 16, and it was a 9-month program. I spent 13 months there, and I still got kicked out.
What?
Yeah.
You spent more time and you got kicked out
and
there?
I still got kicked
out. What the fuck, dude? Yeah. Why did they, what did you get kicked out for?
They had enough of my shit, dude.
Oh, enough accumulating violations.
You know, I don't even want to like glorify it, but honestly, I was always too smart for my own good, so I figured out my way to wiggle, and like, I had like counselors bringing me in. Like, we used to use chewing tobacco because we couldn't smoke there.
Yeah.
Like, dip. And the dude would like bring it in. I had people ready to fall for me.
Oh, really?
I learned how to just wiggle through the program.
I see.
You know, it's called like playing close to chest or sitting in the woodworks, just doing enough to get by.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that stupid phrase.
Yeah. They just had enough of me. They were like, dude, you've been here forever. Like, we're not kicking you out because we caught you for anything. We're kicking you out because we didn't. Like, straight up. So that just made me feel even cooler, I guess.
Right. I graduated now. Yeah.
I was like 2 months from being 18, and they sent me off, and I get out, and my probation officer's like, dude, like, we're just gonna terminate you from probation. So I had been on probation since I was like 10.
Fuck. So you spent pretty much half your childhood on paper.
Half of it.
Anyways, like, fuck, dude. And so you're off juvenile probation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already starting dabbling with the meth and drinking, smoking.
Yeah. Now I'm like, now I'm meeting up with like all the kids like I went to high school with and shit. And they're all like doing party drugs and like house parties and keggers. And like, I'd say that's probably like the only like fun times. Like, I was never like one of those like party drug addicts. Like, I was definitely the low bottom, like sitting in a trap house getting high by myself from the gate.
Right.
It was like, you know what I mean? Like, this was probably like the first time I like partied.
Like, and, like, socializing.
Socializing, exactly. Like, and you know, so I started doing like anything I can get my hands on, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like mass amounts of like ecstasy. I took I couldn't even tell you how much, but like I like a whole summer long, like every day, like type shit. And then just anything else I could get my hands on, really.
Wow.
And I remember I was like, I was 19. I was at a party, and one of my best friends at the time, he they had all just come back. Like, Claremont kids, we always go to the La Jolla Indian Reservation, like back in the day, to go tubing. Like, it's like this big like get together. Like, all of Claremont kind of does it.
Hell yeah.
And my homeboy, I didn't go because I was always too worried about getting high, really. And he comes back and he had like this Afrin bottle that like, would you like clear your nostrils with?
Sure.
And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's happy juice. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right, shoot it. So he's like, just do one squirt in each nostril. And I'm like, all right. I did like three in each nose. And then all night, dude, I was just asking him for it. Like, let me hit that. And then the next morning, I remember asking him, I'm like, dude, what the fuck was that shit?
Yeah.
Like, because it was definitely like, it's like my whole life, I've always had this feeling of like, just like uncomfortability, like not understand, not feeling comfortable in my own skin, not feeling part of, not feeling like, I think the only thing I truly knew about my entire identity was my addiction. And I think that's what kept me in it for so long, is that I was afraid to lose that identity because it's all I really knew. And he like looks at me and he's like, oh, it was heroin. And I'm like,
so discreetly, like,
yeah. I'm like, you picture heroin, it's like, you know,
needle,
fucking, you know what I mean?
You don't, gotcha.
Not this fucking Afrin bottle, but
I have an Afrin bottle right now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck? So I was like, cool, where's it at? Like, let's get some more. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I always hear these people talk about them in the rooms, like, oh, it's the first time I ever let my hair down. Like, the first time I ever felt at ease, like I had arrived. And like, that's what I felt that night. Like, I was at an ease of comfort because I'm kind of like a hyperactive person.
Mm-hmm.
I have like major anxieties in certain ways. Like, I can be social, but it takes a lot for me to be, you know?
Okay.
And it was like, meth didn't help that.
No, not at all. It doesn't help at all. Not really.
You know? So I would drink myself silly till I was into oblivion. Mm-hmm. And then, but this first time I tried heroin, it was like, I was like, oh shit.
Whoa.
Like,
yeah. You're very comfortable. Like, hey, you know? Hey. Like,
I'm all warm and fuzzy and I'm like talking to whoever. And
right.
Like, this girl don't want to talk to me. I don't give a fuck. Hey, like, I'm just feeling myself. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I was looking for, was definitely that feeling of ease and comfort. And it was like that next day I was fucking smoking it.
Oh shit.
And
you weren't putting it in the effing bottle no more?
No, I was like, no, this is stupid. this is stupid. Like, let's figure this out.
Yes.
I'm very much of an all or nothing type person. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And yeah, so I'm like sitting there and I'm smoking it. This goes on for probably about a year before I ever really get have withdrawals.
Oh shit.
Like, I didn't even know what it was because I was just ignorant, I guess. Like, I didn't really, like, I knew what coming down was from meth, but that's just like, you go to bed.
Yeah, yeah, right. You
know, go to sleep, wake up, and off and running type
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get a little hungry. And
you know, it was like my 20th birthday. I was sitting with my homeboy that I had been using a lot with.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, it's your birthday. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I got like a flu or something.
Oh,
this feels like, come here, step into my office.
And we're like, step in my office.
We go in the fucking Jack in the Box bathroom.
Right.
You know what I mean? On Genesee. And like, I take one hit and he was like, you feel better, huh? And I'm just like, oh,
yeah, I do.
This is going to be a fucking long road, dude. This is going to be a fucked up road.
Oh, huh? Jesus.
And I remember like getting well, I used to get so frustrated and upset and angry and have this feeling of like, what the fuck? Like, I'm a slave to this shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, but I gotta fucking do it. I gotta figure it out because it was like I said, my identity. Like, if there's one thing I did know about myself is that I was an addict and I was happy about it. And I found out through all the drug programming and all the behavior modifications and all that shit. Like, yeah. I wore it proudly as a badge. Like, most people, mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't want to be looked at as a dope fiend. Like, no, yeah. I was that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I was a dope fiend and I was running with it because that's all I really knew is my identity.
Yeah.
And I think it was like probably, I don't know, 3 months later, and I found a needle, and I never looked back. Absolutely never looked back.
That needle was calling.
Yeah, it was like, you know, fucking saving money, fucking all the rationalizations you can come up with. You know what I mean? This is so much better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I could just shoot up like 10 cents, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly, dude. And, I just never looked back, dude. I was definitely a junkie. Full blown at that point.
Fuck yes. And, damn, so imagining going in and out of jail a lot more now.
By that point, yeah. I remember, so I had like a little quick stint at the age of like 18, but I wasn't part of the crime. And only by the grace of God, like the lady that got robbed was like, no, I've never seen that kid. I don't know who he is.
Oh,
I still
shit.
Went to county, but when I went to court, they let me out. But
good.
Both of my homies that did that shit went up for 5 years, first time ever being in. Yeah, I was like 2 weeks after being 18, and I'm already in jail. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
I can't catch a break.
And I couldn't take it as a sign. Like, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was gnarly, dude. I remember my first time I went to South Bay, and they come in, like, I grew up with homeboys. Like,
oh, South Bay right here?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
South Bay jail, because it was a high power at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah, on the underground, yeah.
You know? And I grew up with like graffiti artists and like essays and shit. So I was always like, I was always Weto. That was me.
Yeah,
I was
like,
I walk into jail and they're like, are you Southside or are you Bison? Like, where's all the white people at? They shoot me over. Yeah, over there. So I go walking up with this dude and he's like, yeah, there's the wood pile, blah, 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 blah. Our day is this day with the remote and blah, 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 blah. And next thing I know, the dude's getting. So we go up the tier and he's showing me to my bunk and he's like talking to me. And like, I look over and there's a dude in his cell and he's sitting there and he's just got this look on his face. Like, I didn't really think nothing of it, but he didn't look happy. So I'm walking forward. The next thing I know, the dude jumps out, grabs homeboy that's walking me and throws him off the tier.
Oh.
And then just looks at me and I was like,
oh, fuck, dude.
I know nothing. I don't know shit. I just remember sitting there and the alarms, they're telling us all to lock down. I'm just sitting at my door. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Look what I got myself into.
Oh, fuck. Welcome to South Bay.
In juvenile hall, we were getting down fucking, you know, with fists. There was never any fucking weapons or anything.
Yeah,
or true,
like real.
Yeah.
Damage.
Like, worst case scenario, you're getting a couple dudes trying to stomp you out, but like half the time it's one-on-ones, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting them in the mob cats and shit.
Mm-hmm. You know there's no politicking in juvenile.
There's no politicking. It's all gangbanging, so it's it's 10 times more fuckery.
Right?
For sure.
Right?
For sure. And everybody's trying to make a name.
Oh, fuck yeah. So, goddamn. So you went to South Bay. When was your So you dodged that bullet.
Yeah.
What was your when was your first case then, adult case?
My first adult case? There's so many, dude.
I can't remember.
I think I picked up like a petty with a prior.
Oh, like, no shit.
Yeah.
Petty theft?
Yeah. With a prior. So once you get the prior, it becomes a felony. This is they used to send you to prison for it before AB 109. You
know, I remember. Yeah. So I remember this fucking this dude, we called him Thor. he looked like a B version of Thor. He had so many priors and shit. All he did was stole a fucking what was it? It was suntan lotion. It was a suntan lotion or like a protein bar box.
Yeah.
Some shit like that. Like some shit that cost like $20. They fucking gave this fool 32 months upstate.
Petty with the prior was a felony. They send you up.
Yeah, I was like, God damn. And I think it was 85% too. Mm-hmm. I don't think they even give him half time.
Yeah, that's not, it don't work like that. Once you get upstate, this was back before 2012.
Yeah. So that it was all that. But I was just tripping out. I was like, God damn, dude. Like, you're going to do years in fucking prison for fucking nothing.
So I think it was like, some sort. I had like a couple different incidents where I was like in and they put me out on probation. But I've always been a flight risk. Like So this last time, I just got off probation and it was the first time I've ever been successfully off. Like, and I did it with flying colors. Like, I had no problems with this, but my fucking probation officer was like, this is not the person I expected to see. You look at me on paper. He told me, he was like, look, we have over 100 warrants we've put out for you. There's so many different times we've tried to contact you.
Yeah.
You've had 3 different commits for adult probation, and you've had 3 check-ins.
Oh, fuck
yeah. This is over my entire 20s.
Yes.
You
know what I
mean? Like,
3 check-ins. You checked it 3 times. I checked in
3 times. All 2 by phone and 172 hour. Like, as soon as I'm out, I'm running. I'm doing exactly what I... Because it's harder to know who you're going after when you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But,
fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I spent like my entire, I mean, literally my entire 20s. I did multiple county bullets
I remember those.
Yeah, 8 months, 3 weeks or something. Something like that.
Something like that.
I did 2 of those. I did 2 back-to-back years. I did 1 18 month, and then I did a 3-year. And that was like my last time doing like a term in there.
Prison term.
It was because when I got there, it was the day, like really it was like the first... So I made it to the dorms, and there was a bunch of these high-powered dudes that were, like, fresh into dorms. They're like, they're all from, like, cell living because AB 109 made prison local state prison commits. Prison state,
yeah.
So, like, all these high-level offenders that are normally in cells are now dropping points and going into dorms.
So it was pissed.
Like, oh, yeah, they were mad, dude. It was it was definitely a... It was a culture shock for them because they're usually living in cells and now they're in dorms, and I'm like coming in there, big old fucking big red truck with my fucking trucker hat on. You know what I mean? They tuned me up. Exactly. You know what I mean? I had to learn real quick, dude. Fucking keep your mouth shut and be ready to work, type shit.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I had a couple dudes that took me under the wing because, you know, I was like this fucking young kid that. You know, I think I'm used to juvenile hall, so I'm trying to be a tough guy. And they're like, you got it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Who the fuck are you? So I had a couple dudes that fucking really like took me under the wing, kind of showed me how to act that, you know, they taught me how to live in there. Mm. And that's what I did. You know, I just tried to survive, bro.
Yeah.
Glad I don't have to live like that no more.
Oh, fuck no. Fuck all that. You dodged the whole state. Upstate prison thing then.
Never went to upstate because I'm a low level offender.
Low level offenders would have went, but
I basically I was never in there for more than burglaries. I'm always 4 5 9. That was my thing, you know. And
just like Aaron.
Exactly.
Fuck, that dude's been in that jail since I've known him, dude. Yeah. Like, I met him when I was like, how old was I? I was in high school still.
Yeah.
I was like 18. That fucking dude was in and out. Like, he was already doing terms. And, you know, and it's for dumb shit, too. Like, just
always.
One of his things he likes to do, he steals DVDs
mm-hmm.
from like Walmarts and Targets and shit. And, they'll bust them and they'll fucking throw them in there. And then, and I think they'll even put them on probation or some shit like that. And it was just never ending, never ending cycle.
It's just the full circle. The full always lined up there.
Yeah.
I got to a point where it was like, that's where I know I can get clean. Like,
yeah,
like, it was the only place. Like, from living in that way for so long, it was like, as soon as I hit the back of the car, I'm passed out. I'm like, finally, I can sleep. Like, fucking.
I had one of those one time.
Shout out to the county sheriffs and fucking rescuing me. For real.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, motherfuckers. Yeah. That's fucking crazy, man. Yeah. And so you've been in and out of the system pretty much most of your life.
Till last February.
That's what I was getting.
Till February, yeah.
That's what I was getting at. So when's your clean and sober date, man?
It's 12/17/2002.
Fuck yeah.
2022.
Got it. 22, sir. Yeah. Cool, fuck yeah.
I'm coming up on 16 months.
Nice, man. So what was different this time around?
You know what? It was a total gift of desperation. I mean, it really was, dude. And it was seeing seeing people that I had grown up with doing it, like actually living a different way of life and living prosperously. One of my little homeboys, I've known him since he was like 16. He used to have like his brother's ID and tell us he was all 18. Mm-hmm. He's a little junkie, dude. And we'd all kick it with him thinking he was like 18. I remember on his second 18th birthday, I'm like, dude, aren't you fucking, what the fuck? Like,
right? You know what I mean?
But I watched this kid grow up, dude. And, I was at Dog Beach and I was going to burn wood and cause it's cold as fuck out there. And and at this point in my addiction, I was so just recluse and just like, as long as I had my dope, like I didn't like being on it. I'm definitely a professional couch surfer. Like I'm not your fucking like bougie fucking addict. Like, like, I'm a couch surfer. I'm on your shit. I'm smoking your dope. I'm fucking pushing. Like, like the only thing is I used to try to like rationalize that I wasn't a bum, but I was, dude. I never had anything of my own. And I went there to go burn wood and it was Thanksgiving and he was there and I seen him and I was like, holy shit, he's like cooking a turkey in the fire pit. And I was like super thankful to see him because he was like a really good friend of mine, but there was something different about him. Like, I was like, dude, what's up with you? He's like, fucking just working a program, fucking working, changing my life, just trying to do the best that I can to try to make this not a survival anymore and actually live life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what'd you do? He's like, I went to jail. I cleaned up. I went to a program. I got a job. And now I work a program, Narcotics Anonymous. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what happened. I seen him on Thanksgiving. And then 12/17, the San Diego Police Department came and rescued me.
How nice of them.
Yeah. I actually went and thanked the cop. His name is Smith. He's this redheaded cop down in OB. I seen him like fucking like a couple months after getting out. I went up to him and thanked him and shit. And he didn't even recognize me.
Of course not. He's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Who are you?
But I did. I was like, hey, I appreciate you. You know what I mean? Like fucking, he's like, oh, that just made my day. I was like, whatever. So I'm just, you know what I mean?
Right.
dude, they picked me up and I knew that it was time. Like I started from the very gate. Like I didn't wait till I got out and I started making goals and I started like trying to find what it is that I needed to do. Like in the beginning of this, my only expectation was I wanted to stay clean. Like I didn't understand like the self-worth and the love and the healthy relationships that you're able to build and the friendship through the fellowship that is fucking just blasted me into this way of life that I'm so grateful for. You know, my biggest thing has always been wanting to be a part of, and like, you know, I get that with NA, like, and with any of the fellowships, honestly. I started working AA program in the beginning just because that was the first. That's where I found a sponsor and I found a men's meeting.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I remember going to this meeting and I didn't want to, I was like, I'm not going to get a sponsor. I'm not going to fuck. I'll just, you know, I just know I need to go to a meeting.
Just so go to a meeting.
By the, by the end of the meeting, I'm like, hey, dude, can you sponsor me? Like, I heard what these dudes had and I was like, that's what I want. So I need to do what they're going to do.
Right.
And yeah, bro, it just fucking, it really, it, you know, my vision of recovery was something completely different than what it is today. Like, I thought it was like things and like
surface.
Yeah. The surface stuff. And
yeah,
through working a program, I'm able to fucking have a self love for myself and like an authenticity of today where I'm not a tough guy. Like I'm the furthest thing from it. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a softy dude. Like,
yeah.
And like, I don't have to have that shell anymore. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's fucking cool, bro. Like the love that I've found for myself through the work in the steps is, and just being able to identify, cause I know I'm fucked up. I'm just trying to figure out what it is that's fucked up about me. So I can at least be vigilant about it and understand that, you know, this disease shows up in all these other ways. And, that's really been the cool part is trying to, you know, change the things about my disease that, that show up today without using drugs.
Yes.
You know, if it's like as crazy as it sounds, it's like not using drugs is like almost the easiest part of it. It really is. Because once you start digging deeper, it's like there's so much more. That's just like, that's where you start off. Like, just start there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just start with not doing drugs and then we'll move on.
I think I told you it's just the initiation fee.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That's a perfect way to put it.
That's it. Like you get in and then you're going down layers and layers and layers.
Exactly. It's like, oh shit. Like,
right.
Like I would definitely say my disease shows up in eating today. Like I fucking, I swear to God, I just won't stop. Like it fucking, like if it's there, if there's food in front of me, I'm going to eat it, dude. And I wind up, I'm all fucking full.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, your stomach's upset.
Yeah. Like. I'm like, dude. And like, that's something, that's the coolest part about working steps is that you realize these things that once you take out the drugs that there's a lot more work to be done. And like, I'm all about growing today. Like, like failure is not, I'm not afraid of failure anymore. Like I look at it as a time to grow and be able to like, you know, be a better me, you know, cause you're not gonna like the person who's never failed has never done anything, you know, that's what it comes down to. Like, like someone that's just always succeeding is like, they're not doing anything that in book, you know, you gotta fail. You gotta fall down, bust your face a couple of times before you can really start learning how to fucking skate.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? There's no real safe way to do it.
There's no safe way to do it.
That's just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
No, fuck yeah. I feel that, man. And dang. So so you're doing I think you told me you've done your 12 steps from the AA and now you're doing it from the NA now.
Yeah. I told myself in my year I was gonna start working more. I'm gonna start figuring out some more shit. And you know, it's like I'm about to drop my first step.
Oh, okay.
And it's crazy, like coming into this whole new way of life with just an open mind. Like I think that's always been my biggest problem. My mom's told me since I was young, like, you're too smart for your own good. Which is true. Like if you think you know everything, you're just gonna fucking not learn shit. And like
you don't grow.
Yeah. And, you know, like that first step, like I thought like there's not be much I'll learn about myself, but there really was, there's like some shit where I'm like, oh, that's what it is. And that, like I was saying about how, like my identity, like that's like the only identity I had. And I learned that through the first step that like, that's why I clung on to my addiction for so long. Cause it was like the only thing I knew for certain about myself was that. And I was afraid to lose it because that's all I knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude.
So,
yeah, dude. And, so I met you, like over a year ago and, I know you, the brand, Fuck Fentanyl means a lot to you.
Absolutely.
You yourself, have, dabbled with, with fentanyl.
You know, so that was, I say that was the last moral that I broke because, in my addiction, I was like definitely one of the last Mohicans to start fucking with it. But eventually,
the Mohican, I love that.
I mean, like, I definitely broke it down and started fucking doing that shit because there was nothing else.
Yeah,
there was no heroin. Thank you, Lord. I look at that as like a God shot right there because who knows, gone. You know? Yeah. But yeah, I fucking hate that shit, dude. I always have. Yeah. And then like I find myself fucking strung out on that. Like I just, it was a very, that's why I was talking about fucking being alone, burning wood instead of fucking hanging out with, you know, the normal, like I'd rather be completely homeless by myself because I felt like it was just a fucking dark place in my life when I started doing fentanyl for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Like I, the last year, 2 years of my addiction, yeah, it was just that. Like
something about fentanyl is like, I've kind of noticed because, you know, like heroin has its own like subculture and it has its own like romanticizing. Mm-hmm. And with fentanyl,
they're not even, junkies.
It's not
they're even, fentanyl addicts. There's a big difference. They are not motivated. Like heroin addicts, it's a full-time job. You better be fucking working and making money, dog. It's like something about that shit. It fucking just,
dude.
I don't know.
It's lifeless.
Yeah, it takes, it really does. It like, I don't know, dude. It just, it's lifeless.
Yeah, no, sure.
I remember being like smoked out, seeing people wearing your shirts, and I'm like, dude, those are so fucking sick. Like, I want to wear one so bad. So like my first time, like as soon as I got out and I fucking really started getting in this direction, I remember asking Lindsay and she bought me my first sweater.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She did buy you your first one.
You know?
The black and red.
Yep, the black and red.
That's a cool one. I like that one. But fuck yeah, man. And I know you lost some people meant a lot to you at the fentanyl as well.
I mean, more than I can count, honestly. I don't want to, you know, it's sad when you can't have like this person, like it's so many to where I wouldn't even want to like bring them up because I feel like I might forget somebody. But, it's definitely, it's fucking impacted my life. It's fucking whacked me twice. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit.
Oh yeah. Like it fucking first time I ever tried it, it was, they said it was China White. This is before it was ever even on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like barely first coming into the street, probably like 2017. Maybe.
Oh, okay. That sounds right.
And, this dude told me it was fucking China White. And, I remember I fucking did a shot of it. And next thing I know, I'm waking up on the side of the freeway because I did it in the car when my homegirl was driving.
Yeah.
And I got like my best friend and this girl over there. Like she's like bawling. And he's got this fucking smile on his face. Like, like that was wild. And I'm like,
that was wild.
Why am I all soaking wet? And he's like, oh, you just died. And they're like throwing cups of water on me on the side of the freeway. And then the second time was like, accidental. It was just in heroin. I split a 20 between three people and I just got a piece that had a lot in it.
No shit.
I had no clue. I just thought I was like, I thought I fell asleep.
Because you can't tell.
Yeah. It's fucking scary, bro.
Yeah, dude. God damn, dude.
It's definitely not a recreational drug. It's not something, like, I don't call it recreational drug.
No. Because
that shit will kill you. Like, it's not something like.
It's fucking poison.
Yeah.
It's poison. Fucking poison.
The whole conspiracy behind it, fucking, it's a shadow war being waged against us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like an easier way to fucking, like, here, let them take themselves out. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a trip, dude.
No, yeah. And, you know, the amount of people that have to pay that fucking price, man, it's just not worth it at all. It's
fucked up. It's like fucked 18 up. To 40, it's one of the, it's like doubled any other death rate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's fucked up. It's gnarly.
Dude, yeah.
And it's like, still just now starting to kind of hit mainstream, like
a little bit.
People are kind of finding out, like maybe, but like Midwest and shit, like they don't know nothing.
No, yeah. I feel like here in San Diego, it's pretty mainstream. It's pretty mainstream, but if you go outside, man, like even Southern Cali, it's like, it's just like. Yeah.
It seemed like overnight, the bottoms in downtown were like fucking. It was segregated between drugs. It was like crystal was on Broadway. Heroin was in the bottom.
Yeah.
Crack was up over here on Park and Market. It was like overnight, it's like fentanyl everywhere.
All of it.
So what the fuck? You just got a bunch of fucking zombies out there fucking keeled over.
Yeah, tilt over. Oh,
it's a trip, dude.
I just saw this one news thing where it was showing San Francisco, dude. And it looked like The Walking Dead.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead, dude. Yeah. It was just... like I don't even know how their fucking spines go all the way down. Their face is on the ground and while they're standing up, dude. But it's fucking gnarly, dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's fucking terrible, dude.
It's really sad, dude. Cause it's like, it's just, you know, when I was growing up, it was like, you know, you experimented and you got to figure out what it was that you wanted to do. Like, you know, in San Diego, it's kind of like one of three things. You're either skating and surfing, mm-hmm. gangbanging and doing graffiti, or yeah. fucking doing drugs, or all three, you know what I mean? All like, yeah. Or fucking going to college, but not shit. My circle. Not my circle. That's not what I was normally seeing. But it's like, you know, you got to like figure out what it was that you did. And it's like nowadays, like kids don't even know what they're getting into. Like, you yeah. know, like doesn't matter what drug it is, there's going to be fentanyl in it. Like, yeah. you know, it's like, it's fucking sad. Dude.
Yeah, dude.
Like
it fucking, hurt.
There's no experimenting anymore. Like no, I would not suggest all. It.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Nothing. And you know, that was the one thing I learned about doing my brand, because, you know, when I first started doing Fuck Fentanyl, it was, I did it because, you know, I saw the streets, you know, turning into, you know, all the hard stuff turning mm-hmm. into fentanyl. It's like all kind of centered around it.
Yeah.
You know, one way or another. But I didn't know about, you know, like the pressed on pills.
The blues.
Yeah. yeah. Or they'll just empty out a Xanax and then they'll put yep. fentanyl in it.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. And I didn't know, like, you know, kids are just dying left and right yeah. because of it, dude.
Thinking they're fucking taking prescription meds and it's yeah. fentanyl.
And it's fentanyl. And it's yeah. fucking, it's fucking, oh, it's so heartbreaking. Like, mm-hmm. I've done a few events, you know, that's outside our fellowship. You know? Mm-hmm. I actually was up in Hemet. It's just, you just see, like, they have, like these posters and like these like giant photographs of like young kids, you know,
yeah,
all like they're literally all like 21 or under. There's yeah. 17. There's 15. I mean, it's fucking heartbreaking, man. It's
fucking sad, bro.
Oof. Like, it's the part of the thing I don't like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when I did my name shirt too, it was just like, you know, because then I'm having their families, you know, tell mm-hmm. me what happened. And it's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, that sure hit me in a different spot because, you know, I asked for a couple names on there. Yeah. But then as I got, when I got the shirt and I'm looking, I'm like, holy shit. Like,
you saw just, names that you didn't yeah, think.
Yeah. I mean, I get, dude, I seriously get props for like the hat I wear all the time and that shirt, like at work.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm working, right, people on. Like, oh, I love that. You know what I mean? A lot of people, like, they see the brand and they're excited about it. You know what I mean? They yeah. look at it as like, yeah, finally, like there's something being brought to light. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people aren't in recovery. It's just something where the wave has hit them. You know what I
yes.
mean? It's like,
yes.
A lot of people are just normies that have lost somebody to it, because yeah. it's not uncommon today.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You know?
Everyone knows somebody.
Yeah. Everyone. For reals.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And that's why I do this. And it's fucking crazy. I sent my stuff out to you know, all over and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. But one was Australia.
Okay.
It was to one of my friends, and she actually modeled for me, just, you know, because she just loved it and stuff. And you know, she was just kind of telling me, like, you know, like they don't have like fentanyl like there,
mm-hmm.
but they know about the epidemic of the United States. You know, that's just like as far as it goes. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, she also, like, walking down the street wearing Fuck Fentanyl, like, yeah. people will be like, oh, fucking, you know yeah. what I mean? And down there where it's not yeah. even predominantly
yeah.
a problem, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, like, that's an amazing fucking thing. And yeah. it's crazy, dude. It's like that message is so much bigger than me, dude.
You know, I had a lady, like, she compared it to cancer. I was like, you don't think it's too much, like, with the whole word fuck? She's like, yeah. haven't you seen those fuck cancer shirts?
Yeah,
and
I'm like, yeah.
damn, it's just as bad, huh?
Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? It's right there at the same level, right?
Oh,
now.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely, it yeah. is.
It's the fuck.
I fucking shit absolutely.
Is gnar.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny too. This is a little fact about me. I don't really wear t-shirts with the F word on it. That's not really my style.
Yeah.
But for this, I do.
Yeah.
For this, absolutely.
Because that message needs to be conveyed. Sometimes my mom always told me that, you know, there's always a better word to use than a swear word. But sometimes if you really feel that strongly about something, maybe that's the word you have. Because my mom was always big about feelings. Like, how do you feel? You know what I mean? Like, how did this make you feel?
Yes.
You know, and if I couldn't explain it right, like, okay, use something. And I'm like, fuck this. All right, there's your one shot. Now get out of here.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Well, man, I really fucking appreciate you coming on, dude.
Of course, dude.
And you are one of my favorite peeps, dude. And like,
thank you.
I'm honored that you model for me, man.
Of course, dude.
And like, I'm looking forward to doing more stuff with you, man.
Absolutely.
And seeing you grow too, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking me to come on because like, I definitely have the imposter complex or imposter syndrome, okay. Where it's like, and this just shows like the growth that I maybe don't see that where, you know, like people want to know what I have to say about something where it's like my whole life I've been like trying not to let anybody know what I'm gonna say. So it's like, it's a different thing. And I've been nervous about it, but, you know, you shoot that shit from the hip, dog. And that's what I'm about. So I appreciate you for asking me.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, brother. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Absolutely, my friend.
And have a happy Easter, sir.
You too. Stay blessed.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.